Divine Healing by Anda Murray, Chapter 28, being read by Peter John Puleshis, also known as Brian Dean. Obediency and help. There made he for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus chapter 15, verses 25 to 26. It was at Maha, that's M-A-R-A-H, that the Lord gave to his people this ordinance. Israel was just released from the yoke of Egypt when their faith was put to the proof in the desert by the waters of Marah. It was after he had sweetened the bitter waters that the Lord promised he would not put upon the children of Israel any of the diseases which he had brought upon the Egyptians, so long as they would obey him. They should be exposed to other trials. They might sometimes suffer the need of bread and of water. They would have to contend with mighty foes and encounter great dangers. All these things might come upon them in spite of their obedience, but sickness might not touch them. In a world still under the power of Satan, they might be a butt for attacks coming from without, but their bodies should not be oppressed with sickness, for God had delivered them from it. Had he not said, quote, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee, end quote. Again elsewhere, quote, Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee, end quote. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. Read also Leviticus chapter 26, verse 14 and 16, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15 and 23, and Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 through 61. This calls our attention to a truth of the greatest importance, the intimate relations which exist between obedience and health, between sanctification, which is the health of the soul, and the divine healing, which ensures the health of the body. Both are comprised in the salvation which comes from God. It is noteworthy that in several languages, these three words, salvation, healing, and sanctification, are derived from the same words and present the same fundamental truth. For instance, the German capital H-E-I-L, salvation, capital H-E-I-L-N-U-G, healing, capital H-E-I-L-I-Q-U-N-G, sanctification. Salvation is the redemption which the Savior has obtained for us. Health is the salvation of the body, which also comes to us from the divine healer. And lastly, sanctification reminds us that true salvation and true health consist in being holy as God is holy. Thus, it is giving health to the body and sanctification to the soul that Jesus is really the Savior of his people. Our text clearly declares the relation which exists between holiness of life and the healing of the body. The expressions which bear this out seem to be purposely multiplied. Quote, If thou wilt diligently hearken, if thou wilt do that which is right, if thou wilt give ear, If thou wilt keep all my statutes, I will not send any sickness upon thee, unquote. Here we have the key to all true obedience and holiness. We often think we know well the will of God revealed in his word, but why does not this knowledge bring forth obedience? It is that in order to obey, we must begin by hearkening, quote, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and give ear, unquote. As long as the will of God reaches me through the voice of man or through the reading of a book, it may have but little power with me. While if I enter into direct communion with God and listen to his voice, his commandment is quickened with living power to facilitate its accomplishment. clasped to the living word, and the Holy Spirit is his voice. Listening to his voice means to renounce all our own will and wisdom, to close the ear to every other voice so as to expect no other direction but that of the Holy Spirit. One who is redeemed is like a servant or child who needs to be directed. He knows that he belongs entirely to God and that all his being, spirit, soul, and body, ought to glorify God. But he is equally conscious that this is above his strength and that he needs to receive, hour by hour, the direction which he needs. He knows also that the divine commandment, as long as it is a dead letter to him, cannot impart to him strength and wisdom, and that it is only as he attentively gives ear that he will obtain the desired strength. Therefore, he listens and learns, thus to observe the laws of God. This life of attention and action, of renouncement and of crucifixion, constitutes a holy life. The Lord brings us to it in the first place by sickness, and makes us understand that which we are lacking, and then also by the healing which calls the soul to this life of continual attention to the voice of God. Most Christians see nothing more in divine healing than a temporal blessing for the body, while in the promise of our holy God its end is to make us holy. The call to holiness sounds daily stronger and more clearer in the church. More and more believers are coming to understand that God wants them to be like Christ, and the Lord is beginning again to make use of his healing virtue, seeking thereby to show us that still in our own days, the Holy One of Israel is, quote, the Lord that healeth thee, end quote, and that it is his will to keep his people both in health of body and in obedience. Let him that looks for healing from the Lord receive it with joy. It is not a legal obedience which is required of him, an obedience depending upon his own strength. No, God asks of him, on the contrary, the abandonment of a little child, the attention which hearkens and consists to be led. This is what God expects of him, and the healing of the body will respond to this childlike faith. The Lord will reveal himself to him as the mighty Savior who heals the body and sanctifies the soul.